Thank you very much, Brother Desmond, for the excellent job here. You all, we will now begin with our introduction to our lesson this evening. And it reads as follows. We all love heroes. In the movie, we basically follow our heroes and sing their praises. And the more daring their actions, the more we praise them. If you are like my crew, well, you have seen every Top Gun and Bad Boys movie more than once. In those movies, the heroes put themselves in tough situations and came out with excellence every time. This is one of those lessons with a bad boy type hero, which would be David. In this lesson, watch how David got involved in the fight with Goliath. He was minding his own business, then tried to follow what enraged him and pushed him into action. Note also where his skills came from. Of course, you all, you have heard that David and Goliath story many, many times before. But there is a detail that you missed. Consider this. David did not kill Goliath. God did. We know, you all, that you heard differently. So let us take a moment and explain. Moses did not part the Red Sea. He did not take his hands and push back its waters. He stretched out his rod in faith, and God, in honoring that faith, parted the Red Sea. The same here with David. Did David put the stone in the sling? Yes, he did. Did David swirl and sling the sling and give it power? Yes, he did. But in honor of David's faith to face Goliath, in the name of the living God, the Lord gave David's stone the direction and power it needed to kill Goliath. Where the stone struck Goliath was the only vulnerable point on Goliath's body, which was open to David. That stone, without doubt, God directed to Goliath's head. After you have worked through this lesson, tell us if you agree. Telling the Bible story. Now, we open with an observation. We noted in the first lesson, which we want you to keep in mind. When dealing with Bible passages on faith, your David did not set out to prove any theological points, or show off his patriotism, or even defend his family honor. As he came into the story, David was doing what any teenager would do in Israel at that time. At his father's request, he was just running an errand and checking on his brothers. We cannot overemphasize this, and of course the acts of faith who focus on in these lessons occur in the normal activities of living. But to prove theological points or superiority of religion, notice also that faith must be based on something real and personal to the person showing the faith. This is the reason for verses 34 through 37. To miss this is to miss the whole lesson. Strong faith sits on deep personal convictions, rooted in personal experiences. It is much more than mere expectations and stubbornness. But also note that the Philistine insults the Israel and its God personally, offends David. And that time to be uncircumcised was a sure sign that you were not in a relationship with the true God. That fact alone would have stirred fire in the bosom of any Hebrew male. Still, David's motivation ran higher than that. Read David's words to Goliath in verses 45 through 47. God's honor was on the line. Jehovah was either God, capable of defending Israel, or he was not God at all. David had no doubts, no ifs, no buts, no maybes. For him, God was God, so he could not lose. David did not have to look for a choir or a praise team to pump him up. His own convictions about God set him ablaze. In the bottom of verse 37, we see an interesting play of events. Saul displayed a weak faith in God. We all know this scene. Saul is sending off David to fight the giant with a blessing and Of course, he says, the Lord be with you. Now, that sounded so good and pious. However, you all of Saul knew that the Lord was available to them. Why was he and his army afraid to go forward and fight the Philistines? From verses 17, we see that the army of the Philistines had basically been insulting Saul's army for 40 days. Saul was displaying what we call sideline faith. Our friends can show this wonderful faith when they are on the sidelines away from the real action. Like Saul, they speak exciting words of faith from the safety of their sidelines or their living room. From this text, verse 33, and related passages, David was a youth. Now, this may be significant. One of the features of youth is their willingness, basically, to take risks and their idealistic outlooks on life. Older persons with histories of failures, disappointments, and discouragements tend to be more risk adverse. Our personal experience in the evangelism field supports this. Youth are more ready to engage strangers, even in districts we consider unsafe or violent. This in no way discounts the value of experience. The last point in this particular section, again, you all refers to an issue raised before God. God did not prepare David for his battle with the giant on the day when he got to the Israel's camp. The lion and the bear experience were all part of David's training. What is the lesson here? Simple. Do not despise the small minimal tasks leaders may assign to you. Expert studies have shown that over a third of the best administrators in both church and business affairs are people who came through the ranks from basement levels. Faith is not an instant emotional bolt of courage. Often we build courage experience by experience over a lengthy period. And certainly that concludes our reading for our introduction as well as our Bible study. We will now go into our lesson at this time. Now, of course, you all, once again, our lesson is entitled The Faith of David. And, of course, our passage comes from 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verses 31 through 37, coupled with verse 45 and concluding with verse 48 through 50. Now, you all, let us first begin with the backdrop. Backdrop coming from the introduction of the chapter starting in verse 7, chapter 17, 1. It says, the Philistines has gathered to do battle with the Israelites, to battle over geographical territory in which God had given to his children. They were gathered at Sophkah, which of course belongs to Judah. Now King Saul and the men of Israel, they were gathered together as they basically encamped in the valley of Elah, where they designed their battle plans against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and the Israelites stood on a mountain on one side with the valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistine named Goliath from Gath, whose height was close to 10 feet tall. His equipment alone was nearly 500 pounds. Goliath stood and cried out to the army of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Then Goliath said, of course, which was a terrible thing to say and was completely wrong, he said, I defy the army of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. You all, both David and Jesus, fought the battle over ground that rightfully belonged to God's people, ground that they had lost. Both David and Jesus fought, you all, when their enemy was able to dominate the people of God through fear and intimidation alone. Both David and Jesus was sent to the battleground by their father. Now, you all, our passage, it begins in verse 31. Here, David, you all, he basically prepares to fight Goliath. And David's confidence and faith words, they become known to Saul. So in verse 31 and 32, it begins off with these words. It says, "Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they were reported them to Saul, and he sent for them. Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine.'" Excuse me, y'all. Now, y'all, they reported to Saul. Now, this wasn't, y'all, as if David's words were all that bold. I mean, he never said, y'all, if I go out there and I fight against this Philistine, I'll whoop his butt. He ain't nothing. I got this. No, y'all, David, he didn't talk like that. But at least, y'all, he stood up. He stood up to the Goliath. David, he didn't show a whole lot of backbone, but he did show something that was more than anyone else. He showed more courage than anyone in all of Israel. So therefore, it was worth reporting to Saul. David, he said, "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, Saul, you all, he had been waiting a very long time. I mean, at least 40 days. And he was waiting for anybody, somebody to stand up and say these words. But to hear them now from the mouth of this boy almost seemed like a cruel joke. I mean, the good news is that, you know, somebody finally wants to fight Goliath. But the bad news is that he is a little shepherd boy. So David's words to Saul, they almost made the matter worse. He said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." You know, this almost sounds like, "All right, everybody, calm down. I got this situation completely under control." I mean, actually, y'all, it seems ridiculous. I mean, coming from this teenage boy, it seemed like, what, youthful pride or overconfidence. But it wasn't that, y'all. It wasn't pride. It wasn't vanity. It wasn't arrogant. In fact, it wasn't any of these mental attitude sins. David said, "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, y'all, these are bold words. And this is the first time that actually David specifically volunteered to battle against Goliath. And it's one of these things to say, it is one thing for us to say, you all, that someone should do something about our enemy problem. However, it is a horse of a completely different color to say that I will do something about our enemy problem. You see, your yesterday's training from God actually prepares us for today's battles. In verses 33 through 37, it says, "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, well, I went out after it, and I struck it, and I delivered the lamb from out of its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its jaw, by his beard, and I struck it, and I killed it. Your servant, I said, sir, shall kill both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.'" Not only that, you all, David, he went on to say, he said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You all, Saul's first fears were that you are not able, for you are but a youth. Saul thought, you all, that David was disqualified because of his age and size and inexperience. And what this shows us, you all, is that Saul is actually looking at this situation and this entire battle completely from the human outward viewpoint, which says that there was no way that David could win. However, you all, David is looking at it from the divine viewpoint that says there is no way that David can lose. You see, you saw he emphasizes you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. You all, Saul essentially told David that he's been a soldier longer than you have even been on this earth. I mean, how can you even defeat him? Again, you all, this shows us that Saul only looks at this human specular perspective and not the spiritual dimension of this battle. So David, again, he reminds the king when he says, your servant has killed both lion and bear. You see, your God prepared David for this exact battle. You see, when David was but a lowly shepherd, a lion attacked the lambs, and David fought the lion. A bear came against the sheep, and David battled the bear. But all along, you all, God prepared David to fight Goliath. How long did it take David to prepare to fight for Goliath? All of his life up until that very day. You see, this is exactly how God works with each of us. You see, he calls us to be faithful right where we are. And then he uses our faithfulness to accomplish greater things. So if David had cowered down and under you all when he came face to face with the lion and all the bear, certainly you all, he would never have been ready to fight Goliath now. But he was faithful. He was faithful then, so he will be faithful and prepared now. Now, God, our words of encouragement and confirmation are given again by David. When David says, your servant has killed both lion and bear. And, of course, this basically uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. You see, David's faith is soars, and, of course, his boldness increases. Now, in the process, you all, first David said in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verse 26 and 29, he said, someone should fight Goliath for a righteous cause. And then he said in the 17th chapter, the same one, 32nd verse, that he would fight Goliath. But now listen to what he said. He said, I will kill Goliath. You know, then he tells Saul exactly how. And he said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. As a shepherd facing lions and bears, David had no idea, you all, that he was being trained to fight a giant. In the midst of our preparation, you know, we really see how God is going to use it. Yet now David, he can look back and he can know that you are the same God who delivered him before is going to certainly deliver him now. So David knew, you all, that God, his help in the time of past is the prophecy of his help in the future. Now you are the narrator, he now escorts us to verse number 45. And here you are, David, he basically is full of faith, and he's now going to reply to Goliath. It says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear. For the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into my hand. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty powerful there. And then listen, y'all, he goes on to say this to the Philistine. David said, I mean, first of all, y'all, can we imagine for a moment Goliath? Just imagine him with his deep, deep brass voice reverberating against the tall hills surrounding the valley of Elah. You know, the sound struck fear and to the heart of every single Israelite soldier, and probably even you all, some of the Philistine soldiers too. And then David answered with his teenage voice, perhaps even with his voice cracking. The Philistines laughed when they heard David practically screaming in his cracking voice. And the Israelites, they were both horrified and embarrassed. Y'all, it's amazing, the outcome for those who oftentimes underestimate a child of God. You see, David, he kills Goliath. So it was, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. Then David, he put his hand in his bag and he took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth and would eventually die. Your scriptures state that when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran, but not away, but towards the army to meet the Philistine. What a scene that must have been. Goliath, enraged at David's boldness, he drew near to quickly kill him. David didn't run away. He didn't hide. He didn't panic. He didn't drop to his knees begging God to rescue him. No, David, instead, he hurried and ran to meet the Philistine. You all know that many Christians struggle with this very point. I mean, am I supposed to do it, Lord? Well, the answer is yes. You see, God does it, and we do it. Trust God, rely on him, and then get to work as hard as you can. Run right at the enemy. That's how the work of God is done. Oftentimes, the lazy heads of the Orthodox Church often cry, well, God will do his own work. And they take out a soft pillow and put it under their heads and say that, the eternal purpose will be carried out. God will be glorified. But, this is a very fine piece of talking. However, it can easily be used with a most mischievous design. And we can make action, hypothetically, opium out of it, which, of course, will lull one into a deep and dreadful slumber and prevent our being of any kind of use at all. David, he carries out God's given assignment. And he says, he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face. David had the calm hand and careful aim of somebody, who really trusted God. I mean, he used the sling and he hurled the stone, killing Goliath. The battle, was won when he was out in the sheep territory in those lonely hours alone with the lambs. David talked to God, and he took a whole lot of practice with his sling. Now his communion with the Lord, and his skill with the sling are both used by God. Everyone else thought that Goliath is so big, I can't beat him. However, David thought Goliath is so big, I can't miss him. So certainly a man of less faith might have been too nervous to take the proper aim before he took the shot. So the stone is sunk into Goliath's forehead, and he fell to his face, just as the Philistine god Dagon fell to his face before the Lord. Now the worshiper of Dagon falls to his face. Now as the passage concludes, we find that David, he beheads Goliath, and Israel destroys the Philistines in battle. In verse 50, our final verse, it states, so David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. David ran, and he stood over the Philistine. He took his sword, and he drew it out of his set, and he killed him and cut off his head with it, first, you all of all, this is very important, and that is David, you all, he made certain that the enemy with sin, or our spiritual enemies, was dead. And we, you all, as Christians, we must sever them, the sins that are trying to stagnate our growth, the negativity from the forces of that influence that is not good for God's children. They must be severed in order for them to be able to save from our destruction. And secondly, you all, David, he used Goliath's own sword to sever off his head. And later David wrote in Psalm 57 and 6, he said, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Your God loves to use the devil's own weapons against him. But I can see David, after concluding that tremendous faith-oriented battle and standing over Goliath's head, ready to sever it from his body, I can imagine David thinking down the corridors of time, thinking about the believers such as you and myself who will be standing and sitting today listening to this wonderful, powerful story about his faith. And certainly I can just hear David's message, you all. I mean, David has you all in his heart. He will want us to obtain this lesson. So I can just hear him saying words such as, your path may be dark, the fear be strong, but summon courage to thwart that wrong. Hold your head high and stand tall. Know that you will overcome it all. Set your sight and aim just right. Stay focused on your goal tonight. See what others do not see, the opportunity in front of thee. Your David, what he's doing is he revealed to us that there will be obstacles in the path of life on our journey. It might be a giant. It might be a mountain. It might be a river. But he wants us, you all, to rest assured that despite the obstacles, I mean, whatever it may be, that God will slay that giant, he will remove that mountain, and he will divide that sea as God prepares the victory that we may not yet see. And we can all receive you all this blessing, and it's all because of the faith of David. And that concludes our lesson at this time. Desmond, if you're there, if you could go to our closing prayer, please.
Yes. Our closing prayer for the evening will be found on page 18. And it reads, Dear Father, as I walk through this life, I see giants in various forms and situations. Help me to remain focused on you and firm in my faith that you, whom delivered David and delivered Israel repeatedly in the past, will also deliver me in this time. This is my prayer request in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Okay, you all, at this time we will go read our church school creed as we prepare to depart. I believe my AME church school must grow and grow, and that I must make it a top priority to make it so. Every member a Christian, every Christian a worker, every worker trained so that a worker need not be ashamed. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, everyone, that concludes our lesson this evening, and we want to again, thank you for coming out this evening. If there are any announcements or questions or anything that you have, please, the floor is now open. Anyone? Okay, very excellent. Again, you all, we thank you for coming out to our Sunday school class. I pray that, you know, the faith of David is an inspiration to each of us as we address the realities of our lives. Certainly, faith is a necessity. So we're grateful for this message and pray that we will continue to meditate on it throughout the week and even share it for words of encouragement to those that may be in despair. So with that being said, y'all, thank you so much. Again, we're always going to let you know we really love you and thank you for your support and God's uplifting of his word. Without it being said, I want to ask everyone to have a pleasant night until we are together in spirit again. With that being said, good night, everyone.